NVIDIA sells entertainment and video gaming to consumers, and they sell weapons and surveillance to governments. Just this year, NVIDIA vastly increased its lobbying efforts by over $3 million. It spent millions with the current U.S. administration, including a $10 million donation to the White House ballroom, $1 million to the inauguration, and more. NVIDIA also partnered with the U.S. government's favorite AI military mass surveillance software company, Palantir. That's in spite of the fact that those two companies were arguing about China just weeks before, because NVIDIA will work with anybody when the money is good.
Palantir is going to integrate NVIDIA so that we could process at the speed of light and at extraordinary scale.
If you're not familiar with Palantir, here's everything you need to know.
Our product is used on occasion to kill people.
And safe means that the other person is scared.
Palantir was co-founded by Peter Thiel, part of what's known as the PayPal Mafia of the past, and he's also a multi-billionaire who thinks freedom and democracy are incompatible. Palantir's other co-founder and current CEO is Alex Karp, seen here after shoving a fork into an outlet, and his mindset appeals to angsty teenagers.
I don't think in win-lose, I think in domination.
Palantir is known for being the purveyor of mass surveillance and its corresponding fuck-ups, like its system helping law enforcement detain the wrong people based on faulty data, and enabling rogue employees to spy on coworkers. Meanwhile, the U.S. government is relaxing AI regulations to rush through more data center construction. Recently, President Trump posted that, quote, there must be only one rule book, with some weird capitalization that seems like a one ring to rule them all thing, if we are going to continue to lead in AI. We are beating all countries at this point in the race, he said, but that won't last long if we are going to have 50 states, which is, what do you mean? What do you mean, if we're going to have 50 states? Quote continues, many of them bad actors, end quote, before later saying that, quote, you can't expect a company to get 50 approvals every time they want to do something, end quote. We can see why Jensen likes him so much. Leaving no opportunity unmonetized, NVIDIA and Palantir are increasing the speed at which AI data centers are built on the US's already strained power grid, which is predicted to increase energy bills and electricity blackouts across the country. To better understand what it is Jensen Huang and NVIDIA are so excited to partner with, we're first digging into Palantir, and then, later in this video, we'll go through the relationship between these two companies. GNCA still remains community-funded and without embedded third-party sponsors, which means this video is brought to you by you all. This video is our first big investigative deep dive piece in the AI Dystopia series of video coverage that we're currently running a Kickstarter-style campaign for on store.gamersaccess.net. We've been shipping every backer tier with an included USB drive that we're writing with our USB duplicator, and each batch has a different set of MP4s for videos on them to enable permanent preservation of content, plus some bonus backer videos. That's alongside our new redacted, centered GN logo glassware with etched nucleation base in the bottom, our new sticker pack that includes a reference to when we got Bloomberg, plus some Snowflake the Data Pirate stickers, and in the Ghost backer tier, our Snowflake the Data Pirate doubloon metal coins. Those pair excellently with our Snowflake dice kits, each including a high-quality wooden box, integrated roll tray, 7 sharp-edge resin dice with embedded Snowflake the Cat, and a playing card that's legally distinct but usable in your favorite tabletop games. We also just restocked our copper-plated stainless steel mule mugs, which have the typical thermal conductivity for copper lasered into the side of the hammered finished mug. Perfect for drink that we probably need at this point after NVIDIA's Palantir announcement. The copper-plated stainless steel mugs pair perfectly with our copper e-waste inductor tabletop gaming dice with embedded e-waste inductors in them. You can find all of that and more on store.gamersaccess.net. Thanks for your support and for making this channel community-funded thus far. Now back to it. On October 28th, NVIDIA held a rare Washington, D.C.-based GTC keynote, where NVIDIA announced its partnership with controversial data mining and war profiteering company Palantir, whose CEO in the past has said things like this.
Bad times are very good for Palantir.
As for NVIDIA, this was their announcement.
I have a second announcement. This is the single fastest enterprise company in the world, probably the single most important enterprise stack in the world today. Palantir Ontology.
With that announcement, NVIDIA officially went from powering first-person shooter video games to powering real-person shooters. Palantir has historically run its platforms on cloud providers like AWS and Azure, but it's now integrating NVIDIA's computing stack to bolster performance. As Jensen Huang put it,
Palantir is going to integrate NVIDIA so that we could process at the speed of light and at extraordinary scale.
In addition to NVIDIA's hardware, Palantir will adopt NVIDIA's CUDA-X libraries and Nemotron models into its AI framework. We'll start with the most obvious but most difficult question about Palantir, which is, What the fuck is it? Palantir got its name from the Palantiri, which are the all-powerful seeing stones from Lord of the Rings that allow users to see far and wide. Not that one. There we go. That's the right one. The stones are the very ones that Dark Lord Sauron used to corrupt Saruman with. So, you know, they named their company after that. Great start. Probably should have read the book a little more. For those unfamiliar with Palantir, the company started in Silicon Valley in 2003 before relocating to Denver, Colorado. It started with a self-described mission of, quote,
building data-driven operations and decision-making software.
Here's a behind-the-scenes look at one of the company's old advertisements.
The future of information systems and robotics. The future of national defense. Cyberdyne Systems.
I don't know how that got in there. Early on, Palantir worked with and was backed by the CIA, but Palantir eventually branched out to work with the FBI, ICE, and the DOD. And then, when it got bored of having partners with only three letters and wanted more, it worked with state and local law enforcement. The DOD previously awarded Palantir a $10 billion contract in August. The DOD said it received just one bid for the $10 billion contract. In an attempt to fight the baddies or something, Palantir created its Gotham platform, which the company says offers AI-driven combat superiority. If you want to think of Palantir as the analog to Cyberdyne, then Gotham could be thought of as its Skynet, without the artificial intelligence capabilities being AI sentient, for now. At least. Gotham compiles data from sensors, cameras, and reports and can give users recommended courses of action through a ChatGPT-style chat box. You watch a snippet from this video to see it in action.
Satellites in orbit high above the Earth can look through any window in any building in any city anywhere in the world.
Wait, sorry, that's Cyberdyne again from Terminator. Here's the right one this time.
We start with a military operator responsible for monitoring activity within Eastern Europe. They've just received an alert that military equipment is amassed in a field 30 kilometers from friendly forces. AIP leverages large language models to allow operators to quickly ask questions. Show me more details. They ask what enemy units are in the region and leverage AI to build out a likely unit formation. What enemy military unit is in the region?
This RTS-looking interface leverages so-called AI to identify and destroy things. If you haven't been following the news, AI detection has already been used by law enforcement to wrongfully arrest people after facial recognition tools wrongfully matched people's faces with prior perpetrators. These aren't always Palantir, but this is a thing that's getting widespread. So applying this to dropping bombs from the sky via Palantir is the next obvious natural progression. The tool provides a bird's eye example of what a battlefield scenario might look like, and Palantir's video provides a specific example of how an operator can use Gotham to tell a drone to fly over to a specific region to gather more footage of potential hidden hostiles or just kill them.
Task the MQ-9 to capture video of this location.
Look, we're actually not using these clips just to be funny anymore. This whole thing sounds eerily similar to Skynet's advertisements in Terminator.
Skynet can react instantly with anything from a strategic airstrike using a single drone to the deployment of 10 armored divisions or the 6th Fleet.
The company named its platform Gotham because, we guess, it sees the world as a crime-ridden hellhole riddled with supervillains that need to be stopped. In that capacity, at least, they're right. The world is a crime-ridden hellhole riddled with supervillains. It's just the supervillains here are the ones with the AI grift who are widening the divide between normal people and the trillionaires who benefit from all of this technology. The name Gotham is also probably heavily inspired by this specific scene from The Dark Knight, in which Batman invents a controversial high-frequency generator that uses smartphones to spy on the denizens of Gotham. The movie basically alluded to its existence as a necessary evil. We guess Palantir leaned into the evil part by naming its spying system Gotham. At least in the movie, though, there's a kill switch and Lucius Fox ends up shutting it down. Now, killing people isn't the only thing that Palantir does. Palantir has also seeped its way into non-defense sectors of the government, like the IRS or some of the federal public health agencies. It eventually went public in 2020 and transitioned to work with private enterprises. The company created Palantir Foundry, which it has described as the, quote, operating system for the modern enterprise, end quote. Like Gotham, but applied to Enterprise, Palantir Foundry was basically specified to help companies increase productivity from the data that they've harvested and mined or just gathered from the course of doing business. And Palantir is now used in a wide variety of industries that include finance, healthcare, manufacturing, military, and more. The company now reportedly serves over 150 countries and has offices across North America, Europe, the Middle East, Asia, and Australia. Beyond country borders and governments, Palantir has numerous enterprise customers. EnviZone reported that Fiat Chrysler has used Palantir to identify faulty car parts. Airbus, they say, has used Palantir to address manufacturing issues, and BP has used it to increase oil production. Other high-profile customers include Walmart and Wendy's. Now, personally, I'm looking forward to when Wendy can not only bomb your intestines from within, but also bomb your vehicle from orbit because you didn't go through the drive-thru fast enough. At GTC, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang showcased how Lowe's was using Palantir to optimize its business decisions. The retailer has purportedly created a digital replica of its global supply chain, and NVIDIA cited how its partnership with Palantir could help the home improvement chain pivot its shipping logistics whenever things like unpredictable weather may cause international shipping delays. But Jensen didn't cover all of the use cases that Lowe's has for AI, and you should know about some of the other use cases for AI that companies like Lowe's deploy. Now look, Flock is a different company from Palantir, but they're all kind of doing similar things, which is building out AI facial recognition and people profiling solutions that we think you should be concerned about. So let's take a closer look at some of these other examples of concerns with AI and corporate overreach. Home Depot and Lowe's have both used Flock security cameras and plate readers, and they share that data with the police. 404 Media reported, quote, "The sheriff's office is able to tap into Flock license plate reading cameras at 173 different Lowe's locations around the U.S., end quote, and that the Flock cameras, quote, constantly scan the license plates of cars that drive by. Because there are Flock cameras around the country, Flock often has a snapshot of people's movements, which police can search, typically, without a warrant," end quote. That's right. These systems, like the one we showed at the beginning of this video, can build a profile on you. They can look at things like the bumper stickers on your car and start to figure out what ideologies you might associate with. Maybe you have a band that's somewhat political as a bumper sticker on the car. It could also, though, look at where you go, who you associate with, the vehicles of your friends, the associates who are nearby, people who are just in the frame who might not be good people, but you happen to be next to. It could also, in theory, look at whether you go to a church, a mosque, a synagogue, or none of them at all, and determine what kind of religious background you might have or lack of it. Further, these could look at if you've attended any protests, or perhaps wrongfully associate you with some kind of crime, like a break-in, or maybe associate you with a riot, simply for walking near while it happened. While NVIDIA talks about optimizing the workflow of something like the Lowe's warehouse for shipping logistics, the real AI use of these department stores now also includes tracking and profiling. Less sinister, or maybe not, they can also use this technology to look at how long you linger in front of a store shelf before deciding not to buy the thing you're looking at, and then later shovel ads of that thing in front of you until you finally cave and decide, you know what, I actually did want that when I saw it in the store. About a week ago, in front of this suspected ICE field office, there were two camera surveillance towers that looked sort of like this. These surveillance towers include license plate readers, so when I drove away from it, it tagged my car, and then it'll add it to a profile that exists for everywhere else I've driven with one of these security apparatus. Private companies can use this information to track movements of people around town in their car, and you could see situations where it might be useful to apply parallel construction, to put somebody in proximity to a manufactured scandal of some kind. But this modern surveillance is part of a new concerning trend, which is the idea of a pre-crime apparatus, where law enforcement are now taking information that is supposed to be predictive of a crime that might happen to then act on it and, in theory, prevent it if it were ever going to happen, like some kind of weird Minority Report type of situation. This could be used against anybody where, for the right price, especially if you run a large company, you might have access to data like this that profiles someone everywhere they've ever been, everywhere their car has ever been monitored, what's on the back of their car, what those bumper stickers might tell you about their associations or their political beliefs or otherwise. All of that is for sale. It's not only for use by governments, but it is being funneled through private companies that are fueling the AI bubble as we know it. Now, the particular towers that we saw recently were in front of a suspected ICE detention facility in North Carolina. And this branch was recently accused of throwing a U.S. citizen into a van and driving away with him before later dumping him on the side of the road to walk back to his work site. So at this point, it does feel like a real dystopian Skynet is among us, and it's being accelerated by NVIDIA, which more than ever is targeting and appealing to governments rather than basically anyone else. But let's talk about some of the monetary impacts. Following the announcement between NVIDIA and Palantir, both companies' stock rose by over 7%, and NVIDIA became the first company to hit a $5 trillion market cap. Considering NVIDIA became the first company to hit a $4 trillion market cap just a few months prior, back in July, the bubble is brewing quickly. The news that NVIDIA and Palantir became fast partners came as a little bit of a surprise, because Palantir Chief Technology Officer Shyam Sankar recently penned an opinion piece on October 17th, just 11 days before the GTC keynote announcement. It was published in the Wall Street Journal with a page that reads, quote, "Jensen Huang is wrong about China," end quote. In it, the CTO talks about the tensions between the United States and China and wrote, quote, "Mr. Huang says," subquote, "doesn't have to be all us or them. It could be us and them," and subquote, and end quote. Sankar asserted that this wasn't possible, and he continued, quote, "The Communist Party believes China and the U.S. are locked in a great struggle for mastery. In this worldview, it isn't enough for China to rise. The U.S. must fall," end quote. One interesting thing to note regarding this story is that the title of this opinion piece was changed and softened from "Jensen Huang is wrong about China" to "Why the China Doves Are Wrong." That change was made after the announcement of the new relationship between Palantir and NVIDIA, from what we could find. Whatever the reason, we don't think it's a good look to softly and retroactively modify this post-partnership. Palantir isn't a company that's afraid to be confrontational or controversial. It's posted advertisements across college campuses that read, quote, "A moment of reckoning has arrived for the West. Our culture has fallen into shallow consumerism while abandoning national purpose. On the factory floor, in the operating room, across the battlefield, we build to dominate," end quote. CEO Alex Karp has even referred to themselves as, quote, "heretics" in a letter sent to shareholders. So he's a man who clearly has a need to feel tough whenever he talks, at least. And this takes us to our next topic, which is Palantir's leadership. Peter Thiel is credited with the concept and with the seed funding for this company. For those unfamiliar with the billionaire venture capitalist, Thiel is one of the co-founders of PayPal, making him a member of the PayPal Mafia, as it's called, which represents a group of investors who have successfully invested in a variety of Silicon Valley startups. Thiel is sometimes considered the Don of the group and is extremely well connected in the industry, as shown in this chart by Dorothy Gambrell. He's gone on record to say some controversial stuff like, quote, "I no longer believe that freedom and democracy are compatible," end quote. These really aren't the words you want to hear from the creator of a company that facilitates mass surveillance, seeing as he's saying freedom's not compatible with democracy. So you're just not going to have it, I guess. Also death. They facilitate that too. Speaking of death, he also famously paused for an extremely awkward and uncomfortable amount of time in this interview.
"You would prefer the human race to endure, right?" You're hesitating.
Yeah, well,
Yes?
I don't know. I would...
This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit in this.
Should the human race survive?
Thiel is also oddly obsessed with his belief of an antichrist. With something as potentially dangerous as AI, we think it is a good thing, actually, to have guardrails put in place and protection mechanisms. In fact, even Elon Musk, another fellow member of the PayPal Mafia, has had some strong beliefs in having guardrails, at least prior to his ex-AI endeavor.
"Mark my words, AI is far more dangerous than nukes. Far. So why do we have no regulatory oversight? This is insane."
But Thiel has likened tech regulations to empowering a supposed antichrist. He's been quoted as saying, quote, "In the 21st century, the antichrist is a Luddite who wants to stop all science," end quote, before relating that to someone like Greta Thunberg. He's also a chairman of the board for Palantir, and he's a stockholder. I'm gonna be real with you, it's real fucking weird to continually say the word antichrist in one of these videos, and it's like actually relevant and not a joke. Let's move on and instead talk about this other guy, Palantir's CEO and man caught in a hurricane, Alex Karp. To his credit, Karp has acknowledged the risks that AI poses and told CNBC, quote, "My general bias on AI is it's dangerous," end quote. But like Palantir's CTO, Sankar, he also amplified the divide between China and the US and added, quote, "Either we win or China will win," end quote. And again, this is the company that just partnered with NVIDIA, so they do still have some differing beliefs, because NVIDIA has been trying to keep all the glue together that holds together its sales for both the US and for China, because that's how NVIDIA makes the most money. Regardless of whether or not you believe the "either we win or China will" quote from Alex Karp here, it is certainly beneficial for Palantir's bottom line for the US government to believe that quote. And a tactfully applied boogeyman can be found in just about every country's rhetoric in the world. When asked about what concerns AI might pose, Karp told Axios,
"No decision is without risk. And the risk we have to absorb here is going long on this, because it's not like we're not doing this in a vacuum. We are going to be the dominant player, or China's going to be the dominant player."
Addressing privacy concerns, the Palantir CEO deflected criticism with a false dichotomy and added this.
So it's like when people are worried about surveillance, it's not, honestly, of course there are huge dangers there. But, you know, it's like, you will have far fewer rights if America's not in the lead.
In other words, the logic here is, spy on Americans now before China beats us to it. You can't lose your rights in the future. You lose them now instead. Rejecting concerns that society might be heading too fast into AI, the Palantir CEO told BBC Radio, quote, "Many of the people asking for a pause on AI are asking for a pause because they have no product," end quote. We imagine that after that, he added this.
"They hate us because they ain't us."
Seth Rogen's reply seems weirdly fitting here also.
It is.
No, it's not. They hate us because we is us, and what we is doing is fucking terrible.
It's not exactly some kind of brilliant, erudite statement to say that people who don't have a stake in something that is irresponsible and generates lots of money would be the ones asking for it to slow down. For example, dumping pollutants into lakes and rivers because that's the cheap thing to do. Probably the other people drinking that water would say, hey, maybe we should put a pause on this for a minute. Statements like Karp's that only losers want to pause AI make more sense when you hear Karp saying half-baked things like,
"If you've done something big and important, you're probably a good person."
You can tell that to the likes of people like, I don't know, Sam Bankman-Fried, Martin Shkreli, Pablo Escobar, and, well, I guess we could go down the route of Godwin's law of internet discourse, too. But again, statements like these might make sense when you define safety as,
"And safe means that the other person is scared. That's how you make someone safe."
When Karp was speaking about the benefits of scare tactics while on Fox, Karp stated,
"If you want to have peace in the world, that's how you do it.
Thanks to Cyberdyne Systems and Skynet, our children will grow up in a world free of fear."
Addressing Palantir detractors while boasting about the company's rising stock, Karp stated on Fox Business,
"And to all supporters of Palantir, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. And to all people who've hated on us, enjoy your cult."
I will, thanks. You too. Now, if you're thinking that NVIDIA's partnership with Palantir might only extend to the enterprise optimization part, the workflows, the digital twins, and not to the war machine part, then think again, because Jensen Huang said this.
"We work with Palantir to accelerate everything Palantir does so that we could do data processing at a much, much larger scale and more speed, whether it's structured data of the past, and of course, we'll have structured data, human recorded data, unstructured data, and process that data for our government, for national security, and for enterprises around the world, process that data at speed of light, and to find insight from it. This is what it's going to look like in the future."
And as if to leave no ambiguity on the subject, Jensen later told Joe Rogan this.
"Well, I'm happy that our military is going to use AI technology for defense. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to see all these tech startups now channeling their technology capabilities towards defense and military applications. I think you need to do that."
The only thing he was missing was his patented Captain America outfit when he said it.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Now, if we got distracted by these arguments and talking points, you might say that a lot of people could contest that American prosperity and economic security would be best secured by ensuring that Americans have access to things they need to economically secure themselves, like better healthcare or something, rather than funneling all that money into the military. Speaking to Rogan, Jensen stated,
I think I'm happy that we're making it more socially acceptable. You know, there was a time where when somebody wanted to channel their technology capability and their intellect into defense technology, somehow they're vilified.
Yeah, I don't get it either, Jensen. I mean, it's just us right now. Like, look, how are you going to vilify people who develop discriminatory killing machines? I mean, we got to leave room for the people who develop the indiscriminate killing machines too. Am I right? I mean, the people doing the vilifying should be killed. I mean, the AI should kill. I mean, more recently, NVIDIA and Palantir have partnered up to create Chain Reaction, which Palantir describes as an, quote, operating system for American AI infrastructure, end quote. It's designed to accelerate the construction and powering of AI data centers in the U.S., which are already straining the power grid and whose generators are linked with the rise in local diagnoses of things like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. According to federal regulators, the explosion of AI data center demand has already pushed U.S. electricity usage so high that parts of the country now face heightened blackout risks in the winter. Peak demand jumped by roughly 20 gigawatts in a single year, and the North American Electric Reliability Corporation warned that extreme cold could trigger supply shortages across the country. To put that 20 gigawatt peak jump into perspective, the largest nuclear power plant in the United States produces about 4.5 gigawatts of power. NVIDIA bolstering the rise of Palantir is concerning for a number of reasons, some of them easier, like when its CEO says things like this.
Palantir is here to disrupt and make the institutions we partner with the very best in the world, and when it's necessary to scare enemies and on occasion kill them.
When it's not killing people, Palantir says it values your privacy. Palantir wrote, quote, "We treat privacy as a first order concern at every stage of the engineering process and build privacy features as core capabilities in our platforms, seamlessly integrated with analytical and collaboration tools," end quote. But what the company says and what it does, a big surprise to all of you, it doesn't always align. In a peer-reviewed article titled "The Seer and the Seen, Surveying Palantir's Surveillance Platform," end quote, authors Andrew Iliadis and Amelia Acker wrote, quote, "While Palantir attempts to distance itself publicly from the image of a global tech firm that facilitates the modeling of data where civil liberties and human rights might be at stake, the patents show that such processes were imagined, designed, and implemented as far back as 2006. Healthcare, security, immigration, social media, and financial data collection, sorting, and modeling for preemptive decision-making are all described." I just want to draw your attention to one really specific word in there, which is preemptive. That's going to matter here. That genie is never getting put back in the bottle. The Palantir surveillance article added that the company uses, quote, "data gathering, labeling, and modeling," end quote, to engage in, quote, "facial recognition, predictive policing, workplace surveillance, and social media mining," end quote. Predictive policing. That sounds familiar.
"I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks."
"But let's not kid ourselves. We are arresting individuals who have broken no law."
"But they will. The commission of the crime itself is absolute metaphysics. The precogs see the future, and they're never wrong."
But it's not just Minority Report in a movie anymore. Precogs exist. They're already here. And they're already wrongfully condemning people of crimes.
"So, very, very peculiar. Peppermill has this pretty sophisticated artificial intelligence software that analyzes faces of previous trespassers, and they get a 100% match on this guy who, whenever they trespassed him before, presented an ID that had a different name. They look like the same exact guy."
This body cam footage processed by EWU Body Cam and uploaded to YouTube covers over the course of 17 minutes how police sided with a Las Vegas casino's AI facial recognition software to arrest a man after matching a prior trespasser who was logged in this facial recognition system. This is despite the fact that the wrongfully arrested man's height, eye color, and age were different from the prior trespasser. He had a legitimate driver's license that came back in dispatch with a real name that was different from the one who was flagged. He had credit cards and pay stubs matching those names. And again, there were demographic differences like in age. So precognitive arrests, pre-crime arrests, have already been happening, and they've already been wrong this early in the process. It's only a matter of time before that escalates. To just draw the picture fully, you could see a scenario where a false positive might match someone who's a wanted gunman or a known murderer or something, which would associate them with a deadly weapon. You could then see a situation where police or security of some kind might respond with weapons drawn rather than not over what ended up being a false positive in this situation. Someone could die because of that. The only difference is that instead of precognitive people who are reading the fabric of our consciousness in a movie with Tom Cruise, this is an AI system that uses the same shitty type of software that powered this thing.
Come on, you guys, let's wrap up. Let's go. Five things. Where are you going? I sit right here. Don't be afraid. Come here, Green. Hurry up. What are you saying? No, it's not time to eat. It's not time to eat. I'll give you a snack in a moment. Let me finish up real quick. Come on, Green, hurry up. Stop wasting time. Five things.
And Palantir also leans into the Minority Report style ethos with its ad campaigns. And in the very least, we think Cyberdyne Systems should sue Palantir for damn near perfect plagiarism of its advertising.
Targeting the bad guys before they can target you.
Speaking of Minority Report, two federal lawsuits indicate that at least two immigrants were erroneously detained for deportation by ICE in Chicago, which Bloomberg, which will probably precognitively copyright strike this video, reports were likely enabled by inaccurate information funneled through Palantir's systems. The company's tools excel at centralizing surveillance data while using AI to focus on requested intel, like a laser beam. Taking a page out of the book 1984, Orwell would be so... Well, I don't know if he would be proud or not. Let's go with terrified. The LAPD used Gotham in a program called Operation Laser, which, according to Bloomberg, compiled, quote, rap sheets, parole reports, police interviews, and other sources, end quote, on would-be criminals and shared them with local law enforcement to try and, quote, stop the pre-crime suspects as often as possible, end quote. Pre-crime suspects. Pre-crime suspects. It's not how those words work, all right? So these thought police, sorry, law enforcement officers, would reportedly use excuses like jaywalking or fix-it tickets to intervene. This is often referred to as parallel construction or evidentiary laundering, a concept wherein law enforcement has some kind of evidence, potentially acquired illegally and in a way which would not be admissible in court, and then launders it through other reasonable suspicions, like a broken taillight on a car where a flock camera maybe saw people with a known past of drug dealing getting in, even if they weren't actively doing something wrong. Slippery slope type arguments don't seem like a fallacy in this situation, and so-called pre-crime surveillance, it does seem to be on the rise, and we do think it can be abused. For its part, however, Palantir has denied any association with pre-crime. Palantir asked Palantir on Palantir's blog, quote, does Palantir enable predictive policing, end quote, to which Palantir answered Palantir saying, quote, no, Palantir does not provide predictive policing tools, nor do we support any predictive policing workflows, end quote. It then wrote that it is used by police, including for operational purposes and for investigations, which it says are made more efficient with Palantir's software. Palantir even actually referenced Minority Report when writing about the EU AI Act, which Palantir summarized as disallowing prediction of criminal activity akin to, they say, Minority Report crime forecasting. This was Palantir paraphrasing restrictions of the EU AI Act. So they're distancing themselves from pre-crime. And again, part of the concern here is the slippery slope that it may become a thing later. And also, again, distancing yourself from controversial things is exactly the type of thing that an AI company powering global surveillance would do. But at least that's what they say. Just from our opinions, this can only get worse. Now, Palantir's tools are, unsurprisingly, reportedly also being used to track and surveil people who aren't suspected criminals. Bloomberg wrote, quote, police and sheriff's departments in New York, New Orleans, Chicago, and Los Angeles have also used it, frequently ensnaring in the digital dragnet people who aren't suspected of committing any crime. People and objects pop up on the Palantir screen inside boxes connected to other boxes by radiating lines labeled with the relationship. Colleague of, lives with, operator of, and a cell phone, owner of, a vehicle, sibling of, and even lover of, end quote. The latter of which creates a vector for blackmail opportunities. Palantir's immigration tools, which have been called Immigration OS by critics, have also enabled ICE to track and pressure legally present immigrants, including college students here legally, not counting other detainment and arrests of citizens. Law enforcement has used surveillance platforms like Palantir's to track, categorize, and target activists. Wired wrote, quote, surveillance of protesters has included the construction of dossiers known as baseball cards, with analysts using high-tech tools to compile subjects' social media posts, affiliations, personal networks, and public statements critical of government policy, end quote. As a specific example of the authorities squashing political dissent, in April, the U.S. government revoked the visas of 9 foreign students after they attended protests. It's an indiscriminate application of an inherently discriminatory technology. The only question is who's being targeted next time. Even if you agree with current government's ethos, this should still concern you, because the next administration's philosophies you might not agree with, but you're still going to be the target. And this genie will not go back in the bottle, especially with trillions of dollars on the line for the private corporations that have their hands so far up the government's ass that you can see that Jensen hasn't trimmed his nails in a while. Look, I don't know how to complete the analogy. You get the idea, all right? There's a lot of money at play. And NVIDIA, as an example, has moved on from benefiting from video games to instead benefiting from the extrajudicial destruction of rights. That's what we think about what's going on. And to execute its actions, ICE uses Palantir's integrated case management ICM system, which the company developed to assist the enforcement agency. And remember, Juan said NVIDIA will
accelerate everything Palantir does.
Amnesty International elaborated on the dynamic of the ICM for Palantir. Quote, ICM allows ICE personnel to create an electronic case file that organizes and links all records and documents associated with a particular immigration-related investigation, so they're easily accessible from a single location. The AI tools supplied by Palantir play a key role in U.S. authorities' ability to identify people, as well as their behavior and movement, more quickly and on a large scale to determine if their visas should be revoked, end quote. Speaking of identifying individuals, ICE uses a facial recognition app called Mobile Fortify, which handles identity verification in real time. Wired pointed out that facial recognition tools like Mobile Fortify have been linked to false positives. ACLU Deputy Director Nathan Fried Wessler told the publication, quote, face recognition technology is notoriously unreliable, frequently generating false matches and resulting in a number of known wrongful arrests across the country. Immigration agents relying on this technology to try and identify people on the street is a recipe for disaster, end quote. Even scarier, Congressperson Benny Thompson, who is the ranking member of the House Homeland Security Committee, stated, quote, ICE officials have told us that an apparent biometric match by Mobile Fortify is a definitive determination of a person's status, and that an ICE officer may ignore evidence of American citizenship, including a birth certificate, end quote. Elaborating on the breadth and depth of Palantir's surveillance capabilities, 404 Media says ICM is capable of sifting through hundreds of specific categories that include, quote, a person's resident and entry status, physical characteristics such as tattoos or scars, race, hair, and eye color, place of employment, social security number, driver's license status, bankruptcy status, and location and license plate reader data, end quote. Speaking of location tracking, The Guardian reported that with the help of Palantir's Falcon tool, ICE could, quote, track a person's location, including their route and movement, hour by hour using cell phone tower records, end quote. With tools as powerful as what Palantir is developing, you'd want the company to at least have a solid foundation for its general principles. But Palantir is built on a rocky foundation, and we think built atop unethical grounds. In 2010, a competing data analytics firm, i2, sued Palantir. The lawsuit alleged Palantir had misappropriated i2's software, trade secrets, and other confidential proprietary information. In an act of self-righteousness, Palantir tried to explain that it essentially had an obligation to do so, stating, quote, what's at stake here is the ability of critical national security, defense, and intelligence agencies to access their own data and use it interoperably in whichever platform they choose in order to most effectively protect the citizenry, end quote. This, of course, makes sense when you've got a CEO who says stuff like this.
Palantir, we believe, we're notoriously good at being right.
Yes, I too remember the arrogance of a 15-year-old playing Counter-Strike Source. Is this guy not... Oh, he's not playing Counter-Strike Source. and he hasn't been a teenager for a long time. Something's never changed. Palantir's motion was denied, and the company reportedly had to fork over roughly $10 million in a settlement. Fun fact, Shyam Sankar was listed as one of the misproprietors of those trade secrets. His punishment was to be Palantir's CTO. Worked out well for him. As a specific example of Palantir's surveillance overreach gone wrong, look no further than Peter Kavitsia III. Kavitsia, a former Secret Service agent, was hired by JP Morgan Chase to monitor the banking company's employees using Palantir's tools. Bloomberg reported in an article titled, quote, Palantir knows everything about you, end quote, that, quote, Kavitsia's group vacuumed up emails and browser histories, GPS locations from company-issued smartphones, printer and download activity, and transcripts of digitally recorded phone conversations, end quote, and made sense of all that data via Palantir's software. The publication added, quote, he had unprecedented access to everything, all at once, all the time, on one analytic platform. He was a one-man national security agency surrounded by the Palantir engineers, end quote. With so much power at his fingertips, however, Kavitsia eventually started spying on JP Morgan Chase's senior executives instead. One JP Morgan Chase security expert who worked with Kavitsia stated, quote, the world changed, but it became clear everyone could be targeted using Palantir, end quote, and later added, quote, nefarious ideas became trivial to implement. Everyone's a suspect, so we monitored everything. It was a pretty terrible feeling. Not liking getting a taste of their own medicine when the spyer became the spy-e, JP Morgan laid Kavitsia off. He reportedly got a severance package, and then as an award for his surveillance overreach, became the CTO of a fintech company. So I guess somewhere, anytime there's surveillance overreach, a CTO gets their wings. The CTO is the one who did the surveillance overreach. But look, nobody gives a fuck about the JP Morgan Chase executives, okay? But even still, the story exemplifies a scenario where unprecedented surveillance tools that were originally purpose-built for military applications are being turned, we think, unethically against U.S. citizens for the easy part, but it is global, with virtually no checks on access. And more importantly, the tools were turned against, in this case, very powerful, very wealthy banking and investment executives who had commissioned the very use of those tools. These are people who probably think they're impervious to such things, and yet it was pointed against them. So with no guardrails in place, we're reminded of Lord Acton's famous quote of, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Although metal band Parkway Drive also said it. Just a little bit of a deeper voice. While NVIDIA essentially got its start as a graphics card company powering games and wouldn't have survived without the backing of gamers, NVIDIA has said it's, quote, no longer a graphics company, end quote, and it's now grown into the most valuable corporation in the world. It's now bolstering the military-industrial complex with partnerships. And this isn't your run-of-the-mill, old, boring, archaic weapons manufacturing of the defense industry where, at least as an American, you get the comfort of knowing you probably won't be extrajudicially blown to smithereens by a missile fired from a fighter jet in the sky as long as you're on American soil. This is something where these particular tools are being deployed both domestically and internationally, and mostly by private entities. That's kind of the scary part here, where anybody can be a user of these types of tools if they pay enough money, if they work with the right companies, and likewise, anybody can be an enemy of the state. The only question we have is where that line is drawn between the state and between the private companies that are funding it. That is what's becoming unclear to us at this point. Imagine a scenario where an upcoming politician disrupts the status quo. This is something I've been thinking about where, you know, growing up for my generation, you've got maybe MySpace, Facebook, things like this, forums on the internet, all of these things that maybe at the time people didn't really think using them early on were potential vectors in the future to make it difficult for them if they wanted to, say, run for office, where they've got this whole digital history for maybe 30 years of things they could have said that, whether they mean it or not, it's out there. That kind of sets the stage for where we're going instead, where you thought that was bad. Just take the scenario where, let's say there's an upcoming politician. I don't care what party, I don't care what beliefs. Make it something you care about, someone you want to support. And they disrupt the status quo. It could be both parties, doesn't matter. A youthful and compelling orator, new politician, wins over the minds of millions. And if the establishment is threatened by this, whoever that is, it might be useful to have 25 years of data of everywhere they've ever been, of everyone they've ever associated with, who they're friends with, who they've been photographed with by these security cameras, even if they don't know those people. They just happen to be nearby outside of a club or something. All of that becomes useful when shot from a surveillance tower. And abuse by the establishment or by the many private companies that have access to this information is the real concern, because it can lead to blackmail and extortion that you as a normal person might never be aware of. Only the people kind of with access to these things would be. So you could manipulate that new youthful, vibrant politician into something that they maybe weren't going to be. It could also be used to manufacture scandals and prevent the disruption of the establishment, find something to create a problem out of nothing. And that's without the warrantless, wrongful arrests, which have already happened to everyday people. So this technology is dangerous. And both NVIDIA and Palantir are currently listed within the top 25 most valuable companies in the world by market cap, with NVIDIA currently at number 1 and Palantir at 23 at the time we screenshotted this. While much attention has been given to NVIDIA's meteoric rise, the same can be said about Palantir. The company's stock went from $60.24 about a year ago to approximately $193 at the time we wrote this. Although right now, as I'm speaking it, it's $187 or so. Either way, from the points we just referenced, that'd be somewhere around a 200 to 220% staggering increase. It's easy to see why the bootlickers who are on Reddit are so quick to defend Palantir, decrying videos like this one for what they call alarmism. There's a lot of money to be made.
We're gonna be rich. Gold mines. Gold mine. Gold mine. It's a gold mine. Gold mine.
The current AI gold rush is contingent upon NVIDIA prevailing, and considering NVIDIA is partnering with Palantir, then these companies may be seen by the government and the banks as too big to fail. We've seen how that works out for everyday people. If you're hoping for ethical safeguards around AI to be put in place, these are not the conditions for them. If anything, NVIDIA's hardware and software ecosystem are more likely to push Palantir's militaristic and surveillance capabilities to become even more autonomous and self-regulated, which would further remove human accountability from the equation and even further cheapen the cost of war and domestic control. Again, while Palantir's tools were originally aimed at terrorists, as they've been marketed, they have been used on civilians in the name of safety. And we're now starting to see, unironically, the use of phrases like pre-crime or pre-crime suspects, seemingly without any recognition of how terrifying this concept is. And AI has the potential to fundamentally change society. But to change it for the better, for normal, non-trillionaire people, requires responsibility. And that's not what we're going to get. Neither Palantir nor NVIDIA have a great track record for responsibility or for being ethical companies, we think. If anything, they both seem hell-bent on what Karp calls domination. And Jensen's right there with him now. As a wise man once said...
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Perhaps the worst part of all of this is that there doesn't seem to be a way to put a pause on this dystopian trajectory we're on, where there's no ballot measure to vote on right now that matters for any of this. They didn't ask if you cared. They don't ask what you think, what your opinion is, or what ours is. In their quest to build what they think is the future, NVIDIA and Palantir together may be creating the final boss, one where we're all helpless NPCs who are looked upon by the players, which, in a twisted way, I guess would make NVIDIA a gaming company after all. That's it for this one. We have a lot more of this coming in this series. You can support us directly on the store, on store.gamersnexus.net. If you learned something that you didn't know, or if we're putting to words something that you've been feeling, then we'd appreciate your support so we can continue to independently fund these efforts and the reporting we're doing across both channels. Thank you for the support. Thank you for watching. You can also go to patreon.com/gamersnexus. Helps out there. Although right now the store would help us out the most just because it also helps keep the warehouse team busy with stuff to do. And we've got a lot of cool stuff that you can get in return for supporting us. So thank you. We're going to keep following the story. It's getting pretty serious, some of the stuff that we're looking at right now. So yeah, we'll have plenty to talk about. Check back for more. We'll see you all next time. I guess ice is afraid of the ice.